Amen. We should be hearing everybody together for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. And we know we love the Lord and we are the called.
Yes,
amen. According to his purpose. Amen. How many of you remember, what is our motto, our theme for 2014?
Right mind.
What is it, having?
The right mind.
The right mind. Amen. And the pivotal scriptures are Philippians chapter 2, when Paul says, let this mind be in
you.
Look at somebody else and say, let this mind,
be in you.
Amen. That was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. The scripture says, finally, my brethren. Amen. You know what he's saying? You know, when everything is summed up, amen. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Amen. How many know if you've got the right mind, it has to be true?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Whatsoever things are honest. So you can't have a right mind if you're not
honest.
And we're not trying to make any of us have no guilty conscience of the devil. That's what we just trying to tell about. What kind of mind?
Right
mind. Right mind. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever honest, whatsoever things are just. Means they're right in the sight of God. Amen. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. So Only the what? Pure in heart. Actually, there's a screen with that on there, but our audio video technician didn't get it up there yet. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, amen. Whatsoever things are, what kind of report?
Good report.
You know, you ever get tired of hearing people talk about bad stuff? The right mind has a what kind of report?
Good report.
Good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any, then you ought to think on
these things.
Amen. And we said, now let's do our own, you know, while you're in school, you got to do your own self-tests. Did you pass every one of them? Did you pass true? Did you pass honest? Did you pass just? Did you pass pure? Did you get past lovely? Did you get past good report?
Jesus.
Amen. My amens are waning. But we're doing a gut check and our own self-test. Because we want to have a right mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. We want to have a right mind. Amen. That's the only thing that counts. Tonight is having the mind of Christ. Amen. And there are challenges that faces the church, not just the local church, not just this assembly, but the church of God as a whole. There's a challenge for the church and a challenge for the church. The Bible says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of
liberty.
Amen. Today, there are so many things that are not in the book. They're not in the word. Amen. So whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and do what? Continue it. That don't mean you just start, but you gotta what? Stay in it. Continue therein, not being a what kind of hearer?
Forgetful
hearer, but a doer of the works. W-O-R-K-S. This man shall be blessed. Anybody want to be blessed?
Amen.
You can't get blessed outside of the word. The only way you get blessed is you got to stay in. And then once you get in it, you got to stay there. Amen. We get in the word, but we don't stay there. Amen. I was trying to get back on our right mind series. Amen. And I studied and prepared. But God brought me back to faith. Amen. I think this day and age we live in, the greatest challenge is faith. Amen. So we're going to try to approach faith from a different perspective on tonight. There are many different types of faith that we can have. Amen. Some people have faith that they can do anything until the anything comes. Then anything becomes too challenging. And we retreat. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to play a tape. My tape on. Amen. I know it's hard when it's cold. Hard when it's cold outside, it's real hard when it's cold in here. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. I get the message. The message is, let's get to the word. Amen. Let's get to the word. So we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And our scripture reading will be verses 1 through 5. Amen. Once again, I tried to get back on the right mind series. But I think the greatest challenge for the church is faith. Amen. So many are losing their perspective on faith and believing God because of issues, because of hurts, because of pains, because of disappointments. We're giving up on God. But I heard the Lord say, He's allowing these things to happen just to prove us. That proved me God is testing us. Amen. Verse 1 reads, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you
the
love of the testimony of God. Hallelujah. For I determined not to know anything among you save
Jesus Christ.
Stop right there. Hallelujah. Where's our focus? Paul says a whole lot of things that we can't do. He said, but I was determined not to know anything other than Jesus. Amen. Everything else takes a back seat to Jesus. Amen. Save Jesus and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in causing everything that you went through. Guess what? I went through it too. So I'm not writing to you from a secondhand perspective. I'm not writing to you from the mountaintop, but I'm just like you are. Amen. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Once again, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the what? Power of God. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of His word. And can the church say the word of the Lord?
It's blessed.
It's blessed. Already. Don't sit down. I want to sit down. I said, again, some people were leaving. Amen. I just thought I'd hold up and leave. Amen. Amen. Tonight, the subject that we're going to deal with is faith. Amen. Once again, faith. Because the scripture said, without faith, it is what?
Possible to please God.
The only way we can approach God is through faith. Amen. A lot of times we talk faith, but we don't walk it. Amen. The only thing that God recognizes is faith. And the scripture said, by faith, Enoch was translated. You know what I mean? God took Enoch from life to heaven. Enoch never died. Somebody said, well, that never happened before. That's what faith can do. And that's the perspective that we're going to deal with on faith tonight, tonight. Not on what has happened, but what has not happened before. Amen. So Enoch was not found because God had translated him. But the scripture said the prerequisite to God translating Enoch was that he what? Please God. So before God did this for Enoch, Enoch is only two men that never died. Who were they?
Enoch and Elijah.
Never died. Amen. God took them. Amen. But they will have to come back and die. Amen. But they're the only two. But Enoch was the first to never die. Well, what happened? How did God see Enoch? The reason Enoch never died, the scripture said they looked for Enoch, but they could not find him because he could not be found because God had translated him. Because Enoch had this testimony that he...
Please God.
A testimony means not just you have it, but other people can see it in you. So Enoch pleased God, so God took him. Amen. How many want to have that close a walk with God? Now Elijah asked God to take him. Enoch didn't ask God to take him, but Enoch was so close to God, and he pleased God so much because of his what? Faith. Amen. Not because of what he did. And if you read history, history says a whole lot about Enoch. Talks about Enoch's wisdom. Joseph Seitz, who wrote the Great Pyramids. Anybody read about the Great Pyramids? That probably is the greatest wonder of the world. When you look at it, the Great Pyramids. Well, a lot of people ascribe the wisdom that went into building the pyramids to Enoch. Now, the Great Pyramid, if you ever read about it, it tells the whole salvation story inside the pyramid. Amen. And not just that, but the mortar that they used to put the pyramid together with all those great stones, they say every joint is exactly the same. Now, from the time of Enoch, all those thousands of years ago, about 5,000 years ago, approximately, I know mortar joints still alive today. So Enoch had a special wisdom, a knowledge. Where did he get it from? Pleasing God. Amen. So tonight, what we're dealing, we're going to deal with faith. From the perspective of faith for what has never taken place and has not been seen before. That's the perspective of faith. So let's go back to verse 5 quickly. It said that your faith should not stand in the what?
Wisdom of man.
Amen. The more you study faith and the more you analyze and break down faith. And I know when I look back over my life, I have to apologize to God. Because my faith throughout the years has not been what it should be. Well, you know what was the greatest impact and the greatest influence of my faith? The wisdom of man. Amen. Because man's wisdom would say, well, God doesn't do that. Now, God doesn't operate like that. Well, before Enoch was translated, guess what? Nobody had done that before. Amen. Before he was translated, God had not done it before. So your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the what? Power of God. So tonight, what we're dealing with, the subject that we're going to deal with is ceremonial faith. Ceremonial faith. Well, what is ceremonial faith? Amen. What is ceremonial faith? And we're going to use a lot of applications, actual events in the Bible that deal with ceremonial faith. What is ceremonial faith? Ceremonial faith is based on the wisdom of man. Amen. Based on the tradition of religion. Amen. In other words, if we were to do something new and agape that they'd never done before, most of us would say it couldn't be done because it was come on, because it was what?
Never done before.
Well, before Enoch was translated, guess what?
It was never done before.
Amen. We're going to read some other things it had never done. So ceremonial faith glorifies man and the tradition of religion. And we're dealing with ceremonial. Amen. In other words, it's a habit. Something that we are used to. Something that we are accustomed to. That's ceremonial faith. Well, what is not ceremonial faith stands in the power of God. And Jesus said this is the opposite of ceremonial faith or the tradition of what is normal is this. You can speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Somebody said it never was done before. Well, your faith is supposed to stand in who? The power of God. Amen. Your faith, my faith, should stand in the power, ceremonial faith, say, well, I never seen God do that before, so I don't think that's God. That's the tradition of men. That's the tradition of religion. That is the ceremonial part of faith that is diametrically opposed to the power of God. Because ceremonial faith is according to man's wisdom. Ceremonial faith is according to man's wisdom. Ceremonial faith is this. When I look at it, I can't figure that out. That's the best time to trust God. But we can't figure it out. That means that God has to have the preeminence. Amen? So it glorifies God. And another thing about ceremonial faith is it places limitations on God. Ceremonial faith will place limitations on God. Ceremonial faith will say that that's not how we've done it. That's not how God works. God doesn't operate like that. That's what kind of faith is it? Ceremonial faith. But the faith or the power of God can do anything. So ceremonial faith places limitations on God. The power of faith in God places no limitations. Remember Jesus says, have the faith in God, which means the faith. That is the power of God through faith. The power of God through faith has no limitation. Can we say no limitations?
No limitations.
Now, right there in the back of your mind, what limitations? In whatever your circumstances or condition, what limitations have you placed on God because of the wisdom of man? Let's go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms 78, and we're going to read verses 36 through 41. These are indicators of ceremonial faith. Amen. Ceremonial faith. Well, look at how big the mountain is. instead of how big our God is. Ceremony of faith will look at how large the trial is instead of how big our God is. Ceremony of faith will see that we are nothing more than grasshoppers, but the power of God in faith will see that we are more than conquerors. Can I get an amen? So ceremonial faith puts God in a box. The power of faith, power of God faith, has no limitations. It lets God out of the box. Amen. So verse 36 of Psalm 78. Do we all have it? All right, that's two or three of y'all. I wish the rest of y'all together. Amen. Everybody else that don't have it, where?
On the screen.
On the screen. You know what I should do like they do there ourselves? I give everybody a mic to make sure y'all with me. Say, read. Amen. Verse 36, read.
Never.
Now, this is, once again, we're dealing with ceremonial faith. Now, prior to us leaving for Georgia, we went over in Hebrews chapter 3. The problem with the children of Israel, the Bible says, they do always err where?
In their heart.
In their heart. And the Lord said, they have not known
my ways.
My ways. Ceremonial faith. You always err in your heart because we don't really understand the workings of God. Amen. We think God has to work according to our minds. That is ceremonial faith. Verse 36 read. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their. Then we're talking about what kind of faith? Ceremony. So they said, yes, I said the right thing for flatter, but in actuality, I was what? Lying. I know God can do anything with my mouth. You're flattering God, but in all actuality, you don't believe it. So if you say something you don't believe, it's a what? A lie. Amen. If you say, I know God will and God can, but in the back of your mind you said, I know He can, then you're flattering. Because flattery is something that you do for eye appeal, because your faith is standing in the wisdom of man. And because it's in the wisdom of man, you say what man wants you to hear. But God says, in your heart you are
lying.
Amen. For their heart was not
right with him.
Ceremonial faith. You say everything that's right, but in all actuality, you do not embrace it or believe it. Because your heart is not right. Neither were they
steadfast
means to be faithful to God in regards. Amen. I have to pay my tithes. My tithes are $30, and I only have $10 left. So God, you understand. Be steadfast. Steadfast means, God, I'm going to be faithful to you if I don't do anything else. Because I'm not going to operate through the wisdom of man, but I'm going to operate through the power of God. The power of God says, steadfast. Amen. Didn't the Bible say, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, be ye steadfast in what? How come someone wants to move so much? Amen. Because of the challenge. Because of faith. We said God can, but actually we are flattering with our lips because every action in our body says that God can't. We say that God can, but our disposition, our attitude, our grumblingness, our murmuring, our complaining. Somebody said, we're not talking about us, we're talking about Israel. Can we say Israel?
Israel.
Y'all scaring me up in here. All right? We're not talking about you. Listen. Amen. But being full of compassion, God did what? Remember this about God. Remember that word compassion. We're going to see some other times. Remember the man with the demonic son? He said, Lord, have compassion. God is a compassionate God. Compassion is something that comes from the inside. You don't have to teach compassion. It's there. Amen. Compassion rejoices not in iniquity, but compassion rejoices in the truth. forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Now, it already said that they flattered them with their mouth. It said they lied, right? It said their heart was not right. It said they weren't steadfast or faithful with God, but he still had. What a merciful God we serve. In spite of our failures, in spite of our shortcomings, I heard somebody say he looked beyond all of our faults. And he sees our need because he's a compassionate God. Amen. Yea, many a times turned he his anger away and did not stir up all. He said he might have stirred up a little bit, but thank God he didn't stir it all up. Amen. For he remembered that they were but a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him? You know, I said, every time God looked at the life of the Israelites, they provoked him. Because God would try to, God did everything. He even said, he said, you know how good I am to you, Israel? He said, I delivered you on the eagle's wings. All you had to do was get on my back. He said, and I did everything else. He said, but how do you keep turning around? How do you keep turning around and speaking against me? As good as I've been to you, brought you out of the house of bondage, delivered you from all of that, and look at you. So he was merciful. He was compassionate. Provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Now this is what ceremonial faith does to God. Can I get amen? Amen. This is what ceremonial faith will do. God has done all of that in spite of. Then ceremonial faith turned around and put limitations on God. Did not God ask Abram, is there, I wanted tonight, is there anything in your life, in my life, that's too hard for God? Is there anything that God, you know what God was asking him? He said, is there something I can't do? Amen. That is ceremonial faith when you say God can't do that. Or God won't do the other. Well, why won't he? Because he didn't do it before. God is not relegated or neither is he confined to our limitations because he's God. Amen. Is there anything too off guard? Is there anything? That's where you mess up. Now, God has been so good to you. God's been bringing you all the right way. What are you doing going back? Yea, they turned back and did what? How are you going to test God? Why are you going to challenge God if God has been that good? Even in your wrong, he had compassion. Even when you messed up, God had compassion. With all that God has done and all the ways that he made, what are you thinking about going back for? Hallelujah. Whoa, going back to what? And tempting God with what? Ceremony of faith places limitation on God. And did what?
Limited
the what? Holy One. That is ceremonial faith. It places limitations on God. It approaches God through man's wisdom and not through the power of God. Ceremonial faith, and we're going to read about it so many times in Israel's history, places limitations on God because of, I can't figure out how God is going to do it. That's the best time for you to get out the way and let God do it. Get out of the way and let him do it. Hallelujah. Take those limitations off of God that we placed on God. Amen. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. These are the ways that we approach God. There's only one way that we can approach God. To have access to God, we must have faith. The only way that you can have access to God is through faith. The only way that you can have access to God through faith. So Ephesians 3 and verse 17, we're going to read verses 17 through 20 of Ephesians 3. How do you want to get to God? It's only one way. Because without it, the Bible says what? Somebody said, I'm pleasing God. Well, where is your faith? When all the doors are shut. We think about Jesus. The Bible says when the disciples were afraid after his resurrection, they were in the room and the doors were shut. But God didn't need no door. And whatever doors are shut right now in your situation, in your life, God don't need anybody to open the door, because God can show up in your situation with the door shut because of God. Verse 17 reads, that Christ may dwell in your hearts.
Faith.
How is he going to dwell in your hearts?
Faith.
We can all read. Come on, we're going to read this together. Let him dwell in your heart by what?
Faith.
If you don't have faith, it's impossible to have Christ. Christ coming through faith. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with who?
All
saints. How's it by what? Faith. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all. Lord, fill me up. Can we say, Lord, fill me up? You got to do it by what? Faith. You can't be full in Christ without faith. Amen. If you don't have faith, you won't have the full, you won't have the completeness. Amen. You'll have sleepless nights. You're tossed and turned all night. You're trying to figure out what God has to do because you're not approaching him through faith. And because you don't have the faith, you're not full. Amen. Even when you come to church, you shout, you leave, you're still empty because you don't have the faith. It says, now unto him, now we're talking about our God. We're talking about the opposite of ceremonial faith is the faith of God. Amen? You can only approach God through faith. Ceremonial faith is through the tradition of religion. The problem with the Israel and the Jews and the Judaizers, they kept approaching God through their traditions. Amen. It's just like when the Lord was in the, he was in the synagogue preaching on the Sabbath day, and there was a man with a withered up arm. He said, is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? Now all of us know what does that make a difference? What day is he supposed to do what?
Good.
Why didn't they answer? Because of their ceremonial faith. Ceremonial faith said, you can't do that. This is the Sabbath. I heard Jesus say, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, because I'm God. I don't have to get permission. I don't have to be bound, hallelujah, by your traditions, because I'm God. So they didn't answer the Lord, said, just stretch forth your hand anyhow. It says, stretch forth your hand, and the man stretched forth his hand, and the ceremonial people of faith got mad and wanted to kill him. You got to be careful with that ceremonial faith, because God will be working and moving in your traditions. Won't allow you to see God, because he didn't do it that way before. Can I get an amen? Amen. And, but the opposite of ceremonial faith is now to him. That's able to do exceeding abundantly above. This is the opposite of ceremonial faith. Ceremonial faith puts God in a box, places limitations on God, but the power of God and the faith of God said, now unto him. That's able to do exceeding abundant above. Thank you for the power that worketh in me. can't see the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Because that ceremony of faith keeps putting God in the box. Our church didn't do it that way, so I don't believe God can do it that way. Amen. Before Mary had Jesus, no virgin had birth through her seed. And that's why the Lord told me, he said, well, Mary, nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is what, can we go to Luke? I didn't plan this. Go to Luke, please, 135 and 37. Go to Luke 135. The difference between ceremonial faith and power of God is, let's see how Mary responds. I believe it's 137 of Luke. Go to Luke 137. No, what's that? 38. Now, this is the difference between ceremonial faith and faith in God. Now, she kept saying, I don't understand how you're going to do it. This is not the normal course of things. Ceremonial faith said, well, that's not how God does it. Now, initially, Mary was reasoning because she couldn't figure out how was he going to do something that had never, ever been done throughout the history of mankind and never been done again. But he did it for her because she did not have ceremonial faith. You don't have to look at what God has done for somebody else. Your situation is unique to you. Your situation is unique to you. So don't look at how God is working somebody else's out. It's according to your. According to your. So don't worry about what he did for a brother or sister, so-and-so, because that was their faith. What does your faith say? What does your faith say? Not ceremonial. Well, the difference between ceremonial faith and power of God is, she said, I don't understand how you're going to do it. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. And then the angel did what? He said, my work is finished. The angel what? Departed. Because she believed God. She believed God. That's the difference. Ceremonial faith just had a problem believing God. But the faith of God said, you know what? Lord, the good thing about God, listen to me, saints. The good thing about God is you don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. You just believe.
Amen.
He said, God, now you do the rest. So she said, Lord, she couldn't figure it out. She said, but be it unto me what? According to the, she believed God. And God worked it out. Amen. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Now we're going to stay in Luke for a few minutes here. Luke has a whole lot of miracles. Luke chapter 8. There's a whole lot in Luke that we're going to deal with now. The problem that Luke was, I believe was a Greek, Luke is writing, but he's writing from a different perspective because he's not caught up in the ceremonial part of it. Amen. So what he's going to do, he's going to contrast ceremonial faith with the power of faith in God. He's going to contrast that. Amen. So let's go to Luke verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Now, ceremonial law, once again, ceremonial faith, sorry, is based on tradition. It's based on what has been done, based on what others are doing. The faith of God is, it has never been done before, but I still believe God. It hasn't been done, but I still believe God. Now, verse 1 reads, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city. And when God does something, he doesn't do it in a limited way. God does it in a big way. Preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. And remember this, and the what? And when God was taking the 12 with them so they could see what he was doing. Amen. So the 12 were with them. The verse 22 of the same chapter. There's a whole lot that happened in between that that you can read on your own. So the 12 were with them. So the Lord is trying to teach them something. Remember, every time God gives us a principle, he then gives us an application to find out if we're going to pass the test. Every time God does something, he gives us an application to see if we're going to pass the test. For instance, when God called Gideon to go deliver Israel from the Midianites, and all the men of the east, a lot of times they think it was just Midianites, but it wasn't just them, it was the Midianites, the Amorites, it was a whole host. And when God called Gideon, he said, "Thou mighty man of the angel of the Lord," said, "Thou mighty man of the Lord." And Gideon said, "Who can you be talking about?" Amen. You know, anybody felt God calls you to do something, you say, "Oh, that can't be me." Amen. The time God calls you, you automatically disqualify yourself. So now the angel of the Lord got sent in and deal with them for a little while. And they said, "Well, God, if I'm such this and you've done all this, where are all the miracles?" Amen. "Where are all the miracles?" He said, "Okay, God, I believe you. So you know what I'm going to do? We are outnumbered severely, but I'm still going to go fight with this 32,000. Even though we're outnumbered." Amen. And if you read that, I read some stuff that I never noticed in that before. But they were outnumbered greatly. And he said, "You got too many." You know what ceremonial faith will say? "If I don't have them, I ain't going." That's what we say in church. I don't see how you're going. I can't figure out how we're going to do this. I'm not going. Amen. But Gideon, the Lord told Gideon, he said, "You got too many." He said, "Tell the fearful and afraid to go back." So Gideon said, "You know, I got 32,000. We already outnumbered. So I figured maybe 300 or 400 to go back." Amen. Gideon was shocked. 22,000 left. And they only had, what, 10,000 left. Gideon's like, "Whoa. We already were outnumbered." He said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but let's go." God said, "Nope, still got too many." He said, "Because now if you get the deliverance with all that you got, you're going to think you did it. And then you're going to get a big head and say, 'Look at what I did.'" So God said, "Now I want you to take them down to the water." And the difference this time, God said, "Now I'm going to prove them." See, before God allowed man to do it, but this time he said, "Now I'm going to prove." In other words, God said, "I'm going to separate them." Amen. So he separated them, and he had 300 on one side, and he had 9,700 on the other side. So Gideon got the 9,700 and said, "Let's go." God said, "Uh-uh. You look on the wrong side. You looking at the wrong side, Gideon." He said, "By the 300 will I deliver Israel." Right about there, Gideon was like, "Whoa." They said that they were so many they cut the ground like grasshoppers. God said, well, this is what's going to make your job that much easier. Follow my plan. He said, "I'm going to tell you what to do." He said, "Divide them up into three companies." And Gideon still was not convinced. He said, "Well, Gideon, because God knows our heart. God knows the fears. He knows the trepidation." He said, "Well, Gideon, you know what? Take your servant and go down and listen to what they're saying about you." Amen. So that night, Bible says Gideon went down and they heard him say that a thing of barley had rolled into the camp. They said, "This is nothing more than the sword of Gideon and the Lord." So Gideon heard that and he got strength. 300. How many?
300.
You know, that's how much money we need for this church. By 300. This just happened to be there. Somebody said, "Pull it out the air, let it go." All right. 300, right? So he had 300, so he separated them into three camps. Now the point of this is that, I don't know, most of you elders probably caught it the first time you read it. It said that when they sounded the trumpet, God caused them to fight against each other. They destroyed each other. Amen. Now, how in the world can we have all these people going to war and we're going to destroy each other? And then if you go to chapter 8, this tells you, at that point, they had already killed 120,000. How many? 300. Ceremonial faith would have been run another way because the challenge is too big. But I heard somebody say that if God, come on, if God, who then can. So ceremony of faith places limitations on God. And the limitation that they place on God is based on what man wisdom teaches. Amen. So verse 22 reads, says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth." And that has a dual application. You know, sometimes when you messed up, you said, "Let's go over." Sometimes we think of the physical and the natural. God was trying to get them to go over to the spiritual. Amen. But that's all right. Just stay where you are so we can stay with it. Amen. But as they sailed, he fell. Now, what does the Bible say about God? God neither what? God neither? So you know he wasn't asleep. But he was trying to prove something to the disciples. And I'm going to just reference this. And just to let you know, God didn't need no sleep. The Bible, scripture says, after Jesus had done one of the miracles, he stayed up all night praying. I believe this is in chapter 3 of Luke. He stayed up all night praying. Then he went and chose three. Then he went elsewhere and performed miracles. So God doesn't need sleep. He stayed up all night praying. Then when he came down, he chose his apostle, the 12. Then he went out and performed miracles. So now he's asleep. But our God neither. So he's trying to teach them a spiritual application. Amen. So they say he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the waters, and they ceased, and there was. And he said unto them,
"Where is your faith?"
Tonight. Where is everything that you are presently experiencing? God knows it. Because he neither. He that keepeth Israel, he that keepeth his church, neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's only trying to find out, where is your faith? Amen. Where is your faith? He thought he was asleep. He wasn't asleep. He already knew what was saying. First of all, he knew what was going to happen before it happened, but he's trying to teach them. All the way, and we're going to go over a little bit, all the way from Luke 3 on up, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Wow, where's your faith? All that God has done already in our life, where is our faith? And they being afraid, one to say one to another. Now this is that ceremonial faith. Oh, God always works like this. This is why they were sealed in their ceremonial faith. What manner of man is this? For he commanded even winds and the waters, and they what? Obey him. You know, drop down to verse 40 of the same chapter. So what man? Said, we have never, in another case, they said, we've never seen it before on this wise. That's what faith is. And God does not do it like he's done it all before, because he is God. Verse 40 reads, Came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house, for he had he didn't have how many?
One.
He only had one. Amen. He only had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay at dying. But as he went, the people and a woman. Now we're dealing with ceremonial faith. And a woman having an issue of blood You ever want to say, well, the girl is 12, the woman at the issue 12, right? Right, what? Because God knows what he's doing. Amen. We're not going to super spiritualize it, but all those numbers mean something. Amen. For 12 years, she had this issue of blood, and she lived, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? You know what the Lord said? This was an ordinary touch. I know a whole lot of people grabbed me, but she said somebody touched me with a different kind of touch. Somebody reached out and grabbed me through faith. God recognizes the touch of faith. Everybody else is doing it, that's ceremonial. But the power of God brings about a change. Amen. He said, who touched me? Amen. And when all denied Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and says thou, Jesus said, somebody has touched me. They didn't touch me like all the rest of those ceremonial people. They touched me differently. Somebody has touched me, for I perceived that some power. I perceive that I just performed a miracle. He said, I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. Now, the question is, why was the woman afraid? Why was the woman afraid? Now, we're talking about what kind of law tonight? Ceremonial law. All right? Ceremonial law. According to the ceremony, the woman was unclean. And because she was unclean, she should not have been in the crowd. Amen? So if she allowed what was ceremonial to take place, she should not have been in the crowd. And number two, she definitely should not have touched the Lord. Because according to the ceremony of law, she was what? Unclean. And just for reference, go to Numbers 5. We're going to read this real fast. The reason the woman was afraid, she knew she was unclean. But she did not allow the ceremonial part of salvation. She didn't allow the ceremonial part of religion to stop her from getting her blessing. Ceremonial faith has limitations. Hallelujah. The woman was fearful and afraid because she knew she was unclean and she should not have been there. But how many know when you're desperate? Yes. When you want God to do something for you, you don't go like that. Okay, first chapter, Numbers 5, right? And then verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is why she was afraid. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that had the woman had a what? Issue. Amen. And an issue. And whosoever was defiled by the remember that. Amen. Everyone that has lepers, everyone that has issue, and everyone that's defiled by the because those were part of the ceremonial part of the law. And according to those, the woman should not have touched Jesus. That's why she was afraid. But she was desperate enough. Amen. We're not going to go to the rest. Let's go to verse 48 now. Now, he says, if they have leprosy, they're not supposed to be in the camp. If they have an issue, which the woman had was a what? Issue. Amen. And you're not supposed to touch the what? Dead. That's according to the what? Ceremonial part of religion. How many know the church today is just too ceremonial? Just too ceremonial. Too fixed. Too many limitations on God. We don't believe God. Amen. Verse 48 said, Now he told the woman that she would, and actually at that point, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. Now verse 48 says, and he said unto her, daughter, even though the ceremonial part of faith said you should have touched me, your faith overruled the ceremonial part of faith, which is man's wisdom. You got in the realm of the power of God. So because you got in that power, he said, daughter, thy faith has made. Don't be all timid and afraid. Just go and teach. Amen. Verse 49 said, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not. Now we just read that if you're dead, you're not supposed to do what? Don't touch him. Amen. If you're dead, don't touch him. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall. Now, somebody said, well, he never did nothing like this before, right? The ceremonial part of it said, less limitations. He said, only what? Believe. Don't be afraid, just what? Believe. Verse 51, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother and the maid, and all wept and bewailed. Verse 53, they laughed him to scorn because he said she wasn't dead but sleeping. Verse 54, and he put them all out, and well, the ceremonial part of faith says he wasn't supposed to, because she was dead, she was unclean. But God is the Lord of the fat Sabbath. And God is not confined to whatever religion says he shouldn't do, because he's God. Amen? So he took her by the hand and called, saying, may arise. Now let's go to Luke chapter 7. We're going to come back here in 1 minute, 7:11. We almost finished. I'm getting close. Amen. 7:11. Now he touched Jairus' daughter, and she was dead. But according to the ceremonial part of the law, he should not have touched her. Faith has to go beyond the wisdom of a man. Our faith should stand in the power of God. Luke 7:11. Now Jesus had just performed a miracle. Amen. He had just performed a miracle. So he's on his way to another miracle. That's what's so good about God. He's not limited in his miracles. Just because he did it down the street don't mean he can't do it here too. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and what? He had a whole crowd. Amen. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man. Because when you died, they couldn't keep you in the city. They always took you out. So just imagine they're coming. Jesus got his crowd. And then the funeral procession has their crowd. And they meet where? The gate. God is looking for an opportunity to show himself strong in behalf of those whose Lord, let me have a right heart. Amen. There was a dead man carried out. And just like Jairus' daughter, it was a what? Only son. Jairus, only daughter, only son. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. Remember, I said, remember compassion, because our God is a compassionate God. And said unto her, imagine in her right mind, she says, what are you talking about? First of all, I'm a widow, I lost my husband. Now I'm about to lose my only son. I have no future. Amen. Because without a husband and a son, you were in trouble. Right. That's why the apostles had the deacons to take care of the Grecians, because the widows were what? Neglected in the daily administration. Because when you're a widow and don't have anything, you have nothing. Amen. And he came and what? In front of all these people, the Lord did something that the law stated he should not do. He did what?
Touch.
Can you imagine the look on everybody's face? What is he doing? Everybody knows you're not supposed to touch a dead person because that will make you
unclean.
The ceremonial part of faith said, touch not. But God is the Lord of the Sabbath. Touch it by and they're bearing him. You know where they stood still? They were shocked. You're not supposed to touch a dead person. That makes you unclean according to the law. But when you want something from God bad enough, even the law can't stop it. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead, somebody say, God didn't get it like that before. That's the kind of God we serve. God is not limited to our mindset. Amen. So prior to Jairus' daughter, nobody had come from the dead. So we always hear about Nazareth, but what about these other individuals? Amen. What about these other individuals? And he delivered him to his a lot of people say, he wasn't really dead, he was dead. Amen. But the Lord stopped and he did something that according to the ceremonial part of faith he should not have done. He did what? Touch a dead body. Amen. Well, we know you're not supposed to touch the dead. Can you go to Luke chapter 5? I think we're finished here. We'll finish Luke chapter 5. And then, yeah, we're finished here in Luke chapter 5. Amen. Now, faith and the power of God is when God does something, is something that you have never seen before. Faith, God does not work according to our mindset or our limitations, but it's something that you have never seen before. So, he was supposed to touch a dead body, and neither was anyone unclean supposed to touch him. According to the what? Law. But when you want something from God bad enough, you don't let anybody or anything stop you from getting to God. All the naysayers, all the people that say, well, God doesn't work. Like, how do you know how God works? Amen? We said, before Enoch was translated, who got translated before Enoch? Nobody. Amen. God works according to his own schedule and timing. Luke 5, verse 12 says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of, he was what? Full of it. He was covered with what? Leprosy. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and behold, saw him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me. And he put forth his hand and now what? Didn't the law say if you have leprosy, you're not supposed to? You're supposed to put them out the camp? Lord, what are you doing? Because our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the what?
Power of God.
Ceremonial faith would have said, brother, I'm praying for you and kept moving. But the power of God has no limitation. Amen. He touched him. He said, and Jesus touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And what? Now, you know right there what everybody in that crowd wanted to do to Jesus. Because he was breaking the ceremonial part of the law. Now, you would say, well, if he touched him, how come Jesus didn't get the leprosy? Because he was God. And he's not confined to anything that we feel or think. We've put too many laws, too many limitations. We've held God from so many miracles because of our mindset. Can we let God be God? And let God do it how he wants to do it? Amen. Verse 14 says, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself. But he brought the Nazareth abroad. And after this, Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Amen. He went in the wilderness and prayed. And then after he went in the wilderness and prayed, he said, every town of, wait, I'm on the wrong, hold on, prayed, 17. Okay, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting, which came out of every town of Galilee, and so on. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with. So, just like the woman, they brought this man to Jesus. Now, he's surrounded by all these people. Amen. Ceremonial part of faith. When it's too hard, we stop. When it's too much effort to get to God, we stop. When people are in our way, we stop. When churches are in our way, we stop. Amen. So this man was determined to get to Jesus. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man who was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him. So they're doing everything to do what? Get the man to Jesus. Because what have you been doing? Healing everybody. Amen. They said, we got to figure out a way to get to Jesus. Tonight I'm wondering, how many of us have allowed other people to hinder us from getting to Jesus? Amen. And saying, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the... How many people are in your way? How many things are in your way? Because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want God to touch your situation? Most of us, when we got to the door, we went either way or left. But these men were desperate to get this man to Jesus. So the way they did, well, they went up on the rooftop and let him. That's why he wanted. How bad do you want it? Amen. What limitations are you placing on God? Verse 20, and when he saw, the Lord said, anybody going to go through all that trouble? I'm bringing a man up on the bed, on the roof, then taking the tiles off the roof and letting it down. Gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. If we can look at what roadblocks, what things have we committed to hinder us from getting to Jesus, because it's never been done before. Amen. And it says, and when he saw that faith, he said, man, thy sins. Now, he had not yet healed them. He said, your sins are forgiven. But how many know whenever you got some naysayers in the crowd, they always want to mess up your blessing? They want to mess up. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye? Whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk, but that ye may know. We say your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of, where is your faith tonight? Is it in the power of God? That ye may know that the Son of Man has what? Power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise, take up thy couch and go. And immediately he arose before them and took up that whereon he lay. That's a blessing when you can take that thing that had you bound and carry it out. Hallelujah. We can take what had you bound and carry it out. And departed to his own house, doing what?
Glorifying
God. Now this is how you know when it's not ceremonial. This is next verse tells you how we know when it's the power of God. Remember, because when it's the power of God, somebody say, God don't word like that because I never seen it like that before. He said, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, seeing. He said, we ain't never seen it like this as we stand. Ceremonial faith will always try to work like everybody else as the elders, the ministers, and all the team come forward. Ceremonial faith will try to think, that's not how God works. We have never seen it like that before. Tonight, our faith should stand in the wisdom of man. And wisdom and the power of God, and not in the wisdom of man. We are missing out on so many blessings. We're missing out on deliverances. We're missing out on healings. We're missing out on God doing things beyond our comprehension because our faith is limited by what we have been instructed and taught. The greatest faith that we can have is to believe that if thou can believe, that nothing shall be impossible unto God. Hallelujah.